Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soul Seekers podcast, where we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure as we share our mission of mentorship is conservation. To learn more about everything we do, check out our show on Carbon TV or go to soulseekersnation.com. Freedom on, everybody, and stay soulful. This podcast is also proudly brought to you by Onyx Hunt. When I first got into hunting, I kept hearing all about public land and different access and how to find different locations to hunt. I was like, well, how are people even identifying all this stuff? Well, sure enough, I came across the number one hunting GPS app, and that is Onyx Hunt. If you guys want to get better at hunting and go deeper into your scouting, Onyx Hunt is the number one GPS app for that. Join the millions of hunters who trust Onyx Hunt to find more game, discover new access, and hunt smarter. It was a game changer for me, and I know it's going to be a game changer for you if you've never used it. If you have used it, you know the power that it holds. Guys, I really hope you enjoy this episode. If you want to know more about Onyx, go to onyxmaps.com/hunt and check out their app. Be blessed, freedom on, and stay soulful. All right, guys, if you're in the market for a new hunting rifle this coming year, look no further than a Kelbley's rifle. I've been rocking their Coda rifle for the last couple seasons and have had great success with it. It's an amazing shooter, and every time I put one of their rifles in somebody's hands, they're like, oh, I gotta get one of these. Kelbley's holds over 92 world and national records that are either broken or set on one of their actions or rifles. So they really set a higher level of accuracy. If you want to know more about Kelbley's rifles, go to Kelbley.com. That's K-E-L-B-L-Y.com. Tell them Johnny Mac sent you with Soul Seekers. And go enjoy shooting that much more in this coming hunting season. Be blessed, everybody. Go check out Kelbley Rifles. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soul Seekers podcast. This time we are recording live from the 2024 Western Hunting and Conservation Expo here in Salt Lake City. And I am joined by a phenomenal human being and somebody who I've been following her arrow for quite some time. And I just happen to have Jessica Byers here from the Instagram account Follow Her Arrow. And we're going to be talking about her journey in the hunting world and what's new and what's going on and just catching up and learning about what it's like to be a part of such an amazing pastime, lifestyle, culture, and everything else. So without further ado, Jessica, thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It's good to see you again.
That's good to see you.
Thanks for the invite.
You know, you've run into so many people over, you know, years of going to shows and expos and, you know, social media that it's fun to put a face to like an account, like, oh, sure. I follow you, but now to actually meet you in person and to record. And I was really excited for this podcast.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just another human being. We all get up and put our pants on every day. So,
right. Yeah. Except for when I put my pants on, I make gold records.
You know? Well, in that case, I am very honored to be on your podcast.
I'm just kidding. So how's the show been for you?
It's been good. It's a little bittersweet. It's my last show with my current employer, so I'm just making the most of it. But yeah, it's been good. This is probably my favorite show in the industry. Well, I don't know. Dallas Safari's probably my favorite because it's in Texas. But this is just, I feel like it's a big reunion when I come here.
Yes.
And I get to have my whole team with me, whereas usually we jump around just a few of us. So it's special. It's a good team building event, and I get to see a lot of people that I only see at this show. So
that makes sense.
Trade show season.
You know, there's a big like difference between Dallas Safari Club and then Western Hunt.
Yeah, it's a different, totally different vibe. Dallas Safari is a very, very wealthy show, mm-hmm. like super, super wealthy. But then also it mixes in a ton of people, like the Southern culture. And that's my roots. I just love the people there. I love the energy there. Everybody, yeah, I just feel at home. Other than I'm not wealthy, gosh, I don't mean it like that, but you do well in business and you have great conversation.
Yeah,
and
there's some oil money down there.
Yeah,
I mean, let's,
yeah. I just wanted to make sure I didn't come across super vain because I definitely wasn't referring to myself in that way.
Jeez, it's like you probably thought the show was about you, don't you? Come on, I like, I'm a DJ by trade also. Like, I DJ proms and homecomings and weddings and all that stuff.
I love that.
So I pull from song references.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm a music junkie. I actually missed that the most about Texas when I left there to come to Utah. They don't have dance halls and live music. And
right.
That's like, I went to A&M. We went to concerts and danced multiple times a week.
Yeah.
So I've missed it so much.
I relocated from the state of Washington down to Texas. And
I'm proud of you. You're making
you.
Really big moves.
Thank you.
I know we just met, but you just like moved up quite a bit.
Yeah, Texas. I mean, you know, Davy Crockett said it best. Y'all can go to hell. I'm going to Texas.
That's right.
So,
amen.
I almost moved to San Antonio like 7 years ago. Wife and I both got offered jobs, and I was like, San Antonio is beautiful, but it's not where I wanted to be.
It's my least favorite big city in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
North Texas, that green grass, like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Fort Worth area is by far my favorite.
But going back to the dancing is I went to Green Hall.
Yeah. Dude, you're hitting – you're, like, getting after it. Oh. You're hitting all the spots.
Oh, yeah. So I took my wife there.
Yeah.
And I was like, look at what this is. Like, people don't understand how epic a dance hall is.
Yeah.
They fold up those outside boards and – you know, get that air rolling through and big
that is
names
such
play
a
small stages. And
It's such a classic place that is truly like, it's like symbolic of Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
You should go across the street and get a custom hat made.
I got my boots. I love my boots. I am still, I have a straw hat, but I have not been able to, I have my eyes on a felt.
Yeah.
But the wallet is not, it's not saying do
Dude,
it yet.
I swiped the credit card a couple years ago at the NFR on one, and it hurt, but I've never regretted it.
Yeah.
There's nothing to me better than just a classic felt quality shaped hat.
Oh.
But you got to get it shaped right, and that's a really good company across the street from Green. They know what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. My buddy Jake Olson here, who he's been on the podcast. He used to run the Deer Relocation Program for Mule Deer Foundation. Jake Olson. Do you know Jake Olson at all?
I don't think so. Jake, I'm sorry if we have met.
Oh, it's all right. So he's been on the podcast. Deer catching. He catches urban deer and relocates them out, you know, out to the mountains.
Yeah.
He went to the NFR and he got himself a quite nice hat.
Yeah. Well, that's where these boots came about, too.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Do you use the rodeo?
No, but my friends did.
Yeah.
So I was a soccer player. I traveled for 10 years playing soccer, and so it didn't really allow me the freedom to do a lot of things I would have loved to do. Like, I didn't show. I wasn't in, like, 4-H and all that. All my friends were big into livestock and showing, and I would go, and I would warm up their horses for rodeo and things. But, yeah, I was just kind of – I don't know, a groupie?
Yeah.
I call
myself
a groupie.
No, I get it. I love it.
It's soccer was my life. I traveled all over the world for soccer.
We live proxy through these people. Like, oh, you do it so that I can just watch and tell me the stories. And
Yeah.
No, I get it. I love it. So when it comes to Texas, this is something that I've realized. Now it's changed. So you got out. When did you leave Texas?
Moved to Utah November of 2019.
Okay. So it hasn't been too long ago. What I learned about Texas is the culture of hunting is very well accepted, right? So people who don't even hunt still eat venison. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like that's a mainstay in the diet. Now, it's a pretty big blanket statement, like maybe not so much for the inner city, like metro people. But when you start getting to the, you know, the smaller towns of Texas, like it's a staple. What I'm now realizing, because my platform is all based around mentorship as conservation. If you want hunting to last for generations to come, you got to invest in the hearts and lives of other people.
Absolutely.
Well, this influx of out-of-staters, specifically like California and all this, is there's actually a lot of people now that don't hunt in Texas. And here I am coming to Texas as well, but with my mission of getting people involved, I lived in my neighborhood a year and a half. And one of my neighbors is from California, former Marine, but, you know, always a Marine.
Yeah.
And I got to take him on his very first hunt. We took him on a thermal hog hunt. He killed hog. We cooked it up for 4th of July, had a party. I was like, you don't have to eat crayons anymore. You can eat pork. And that's going to be an episode that is releasing here in March on Carbon TV. But, like, just that quickly, and he's like, dude, I'm hooked. I'm, and, you know... a Marine loves shooting guns, but like when you apply it for an application that then benefits you and your family, he's a father of three kids, and it truly transforms lives.
Yeah.
You growing up in the hunting culture, being from Texas, I'm assuming you grew up in the hunting culture. Did you? Was that something that your parents did, passed it on to you and all that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember when I grew up, we always had a deer lease. We would, travel. My dad always had a lease of some kind. The most, I guess, I don't know what the word is. But the thing that the lease that shaped me the most was a lease we had for 10 years in South Texas. That's where I learned the most about hunting. It's when I decided I did want to pull the trigger, and I learned so much in that time in my life. But still, during that period of time, you pull up to a gas station, you got a buck in the back of your truck, everybody comes around and they're congratulating you, and it's like, tell me the story, and it's always the same story. But they're excited for
it
you.
It came out of the brush. It was on the Sendero. It was broadside.
Yeah. Like that. Sorry. I don't mean to put a blanket statement on all hunting stories. It's just they're usually pretty similar. So anyway, there's that support. I never experienced anti-hunting or bullying or it just wasn't a thing.
Right.
So yeah, I hear about that now. I mean, and when I visit Texas, I'm not there long enough to experience like what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But I'm also out in the country and kind of, in a small town where it still feels like what it did before.
You were raised in the hunting culture. It just felt normal.
Yeah.
At what point, what age were you when you're like, okay, I want to squeeze the trigger and I want to be a participant in nature rather than an observer?
It wasn't until end of middle school.
Really?
Yeah, I was older. So it's funny because in Texas there's not an age limit.
I know, I found that out. Wild.
Oh, the amount of 5-year-olds that have killed deer that I know is it's impressive.
Yeah.
That could have been me. I just, my dad's hunted and fished my whole life. And he's taken me along, but I didn't find it as the hunting side as interesting until I got older.
Right.
But he says you just have to plant the seed. That's kind of how he refers to it. Like, you just keep exposing kids to it and let them come to it. And I did. But, at some point, I think the turning point for me was my stepmom. She's been in my life since I was 6. Mm-hmm. And she hunts.
Yeah.
And again, I've quoted this so many times. My friend Sierra Langbell, I heard her say it once, and I have just jumped on the same idea that if a woman of the house hunts, everybody will hunt.
Okay, so I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
If you can hook the mother.
Yep. 100%. And so I remember feeling very inspired and empowered that this soft, nurturing, motherly figure in my life could go out and shoot an animal and get excited and have the adrenaline and everything. So, again, I had been around hunting a lot, but just never. And I even went through a phase of, Dad, why are you shooting that deer? I think a lot of kids, especially girls, go through that at some point. But it shifted for me, and I think it was my stepmom. It's hard to pinpoint so long ago. But, so when I let him know, we started practicing and went through hunter safety. And it was it was a really cool period of time with my dad, and I think that made his day. And then I ended up shooting a coyote for my first animal, which is you don't even get to shoot coyotes that often unless you're intentionally
going for it.
Yeah, but I was trying to shoot a doe, and just one came out, and it stopped just long enough for me to smoke it. And he was exponentially more excited because it was a coyote, because you don't get as many opportunities. And I've never shot another one since then, by the way.
Really?
I swear. Yeah, it's wild. I've seen them, but I just haven't had an opportunity.
So what was it like? And tell me about your journey from here you are, South Texas girl, growing up in the hunting culture, and then what got you into wanting to work within the industry? And here you are working at Hunting Fool and moving west and all this.
It's been quite a journey. I'll try to summarize it. It's been, roughly I guess I'm pushing 10 years from the start of all this. So I enjoyed hunting, did it all through high school, went off to college. I actually didn't hunt in college. I don't remember hunting at all in college because I was working full time, going to school full time. And if I wasn't doing that, I was going to dance halls and concerts. That was my life. That was a period of time. And, you're dating, and I just had other priorities.
Oh, yeah.
met Braxton, my husband, and in the summer right before I graduated in December of 2012, and our first few like trips or outside of like going to dinner or whatever was hunting. And so I just jumped right back into it because it's like, again, someone plants a seed in your life and you get hooked, you always come back to it. I believe people will always come back to it, whether it's subconsciously they miss the peace that it brings, the disconnect, whatever it is, I think you always come back to it, even if you go through periods of time where you don't do it. And
so in the Bible, book of Proverbs, it talks about that. It says, train up a child in the way they should go, mm-hmm. and when they're old, they will not depart from it.
Yeah.
Have you heard that before?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. And so we went on a trip. We went a couple trips. He flew me to Kansas. I went whitetail hunting with him. We did a pig hunt in South Texas together. And anyway, just went right back into it. And within 6 months, he surprised me. My birthday's in January, so I met him in July. And 6 months later, he surprised me with a bow. And I had always been interested in archery. Like, I don't think there's even a kid, whether hunting interests you or not, archery is just a lifelong skill, and it's very empowering. Mm-hmm. Like, how many summer camps involve archery? Like, even if it's not a hunting outdoor camp, it's just
right.
one of those things.
Right, right.
So, outside of that, like, at camps, I had never really had an experience with a bow. He got me one. He had been exclusively a bow hunter for years and years. He was very, very good. He surprised me with that, and that following season, I got a doe on opening day, made a perfect shot, and the confidence, the excitement and the confidence it gave me was just next level. And I think I would have gotten into archery hunting sooner if I ever felt confident enough to walk into an archery shop, but I really needed that mentor to take me under their wing, and having it be my husband was even better because I felt comfortable about, you know, messing up or asking questions. But after a couple seasons of just being very successful, I didn't have a sob story for a while. I was on a hot streak right out the gate for a while, yeah. honestly. And I kept meeting girls that felt like there's a consistent phrase of, I don't know how you do that. I could never do that. That's so cool. Like, there was a lack of confidence in their ability, and that was very relatable. And so then I thought, oh, man. And at the time, I had opened up a beauty salon. So I talked to a lot of women every single day.
It's like you have a captive audience, right?
Yeah.
They're in your chair.
Yeah, like on the hour, every hour. And so
I love that.
This is a very common conversation that I had. It's like, it's not they didn't, you know, weren't interested in hunting, weren't interested in outdoors. They simply lacked the confidence to put a bow in their hand.
Right.
And regardless if they ever wanted to hunt. And so that made me realize, man, there really aren't any resources out there other than like what you see on TV, which again, that's all perfectly put together. There's not a lot of transparency about what really goes on in a hunt mm-hmm. on TV. So I was like, how do women learn? Who do they turn to? So, and I've always enjoyed writing. I started writing at a very young age. Actually, when I went to therapy when I was super young, they made me write. It was my homework. I had to write every day in my journal. And so that's always been an outlet for me. So then I mixed the two, and I thought, well, I'll start writing about my experiences in the field, and I'll be super transparent, even about when I mess up, and provide tips and tricks and something that is relatable for these women and children.
Right.
That, and then I went to school for graphic design. So all these things kind of hit at once of like meeting with women that made me realize I kind of had a calling, and then I could brand myself using my degree. So I started my website, started writing in it, and then started my channels, and then it just got a lot of traffic. And so I remember I was with one of my clients, and I said, I think I want to do this full time. Because at the time, I was the owner of the salon, so I was able to work like super long days, like 3 days, really, really long hours, and then I would take the weekend to go hunt. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I think I want to try to do this full time. And at the time, very few people other than TV shows were doing the individual contracts and learning and tapping into how to make money to be able to travel. So I freaking hate the term influencer. It like makes my skin crawl, but let's just call it what it is. That wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
At the time. And so, and the market certainly wasn't saturated. And so I created proposals and a media kit, and I presented those companies. And I did that. So I quit. I closed my salon. I traveled for 2 years, roughly, around the world, writing about my experiences, capturing content for companies that were paying, and that opened up the ability to do it full time. But then I saw the writing on the wall. I saw where social media was going. I saw that too many people were doing things for free or product only, and and I honestly was. I felt lonely. I didn't have a team. I really like people.
Right.
And so then I say you can shake one hand and it changes your life. And that's what happened. I was at SHOT Show 1 year and shook the CEO's hand at Huntful. And he needed somebody in marketing that knew the industry. And I was looking for a move. I'd been wanting to be in the mountains for a long time and just the perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
So I kind of skipped over a big part of like what called me to the mountains, but essentially, I ended up marrying Braxton, and for my wedding present, my dad bought me an elk hunt, and that was the pivotal.
That's wild.
That was this extremely pivotal moment in my life. That's when I realized I want to live in the mountains. I like.
That was a launching point.
Yeah, I like Western-based hunting 1,000 times more than my roots. Even though I'm very grateful for my roots in Texas, totally different style. It was so foreign in terms of how you hunt, what you hunt with, or what you hunt, how you hunt, where you hunt. Public land was pretty foreign to me. So that opportunity, and by the way, when he asked me, do you want to go on an elk hunt for your wedding present, I didn't even know what a bugle sounded like. I'd never seen an elk before. All I knew was I love to travel. My dad's never hesitated to put me on a plane anywhere if I wanted to go around the world. I got to travel. I got to be with my dad, and I had a new first-time experience. So it was like, yeah, let's go. And I didn't even hear I didn't even know what a bugle was until I was driving to the elk hunt.
Wow.
So, and then I got an elk that year. And that's really what made me realize, like, I want to do this all the time. Like, how can I just hunt nonstop and be in elk country?
So let me ask you this. Do you have children?
I have a stepdaughter.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have any of my own.
So you were raised in hunting. My wife doesn't hunt, but I've been able to. So we met, this June will be 11 years of marriage and 11 years of knowing her. I proposed, I bought a ring after 2 weeks.
What's your wedding anniversary?
June 22nd.
27th. And we're going to be 11 years too.
Oh.
Well, 8 years marriage, 11 years together. But yeah, it's a very similar time.
There we go.
Yeah.
I love it. So my wife doesn't hunt. I want her to hunt. But I took my hunter safety at the same time that we got married, and I told her, I was like, hey, my goal is I'm going to be a head football coach. You're going to be a football widow. Are you good with signing up for this? Like, this is my life plan that I'm seeing. Do you want to jump on board with me? Because I'd love to do life with you. She agreed, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, I hit it, a hard pivot. And I was like, hunting transformed my life. All I want to do is this. Stopped coaching, stopped everything. And it's like, I want to hunt. She doesn't hunt, but she's also been raising kids. We have 3 small boys, 9, 7, and 4. And we've been in, you know, survival mode of parenting and figuring that out. Biggest issue is, like you were saying earlier, is if the mom hunts, everyone hunts. Now, I have 3 boys, and I want my boys to have the skill set, the knowledge of how to procure food for themselves. If they don't end up being hunters, that's one thing, but then they at least can impact legislation and, you know, be pro hunting with voting and all the initiatives that's going on where hunting gets attacked. What advice do you have for the women or the moms or the other halves that are listening to this episode, or maybe their husbands are like, oh babe, you need to hear this, like listen to this, like what would you say to encourage them to
stop and smell the flowers? I know it's like sounds so simple, but the biggest thing I've noticed with hunting, even with my husband now, which we don't hunt very well together anymore. we have very different hunting styles, but it's the whole experience for me. So oftentimes what you'll see in men is like, and it's natural, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just God created us differently.
They mansplain things?
No, they are in kill mode. Like, it's like,
yes,
they got one goal. And don't get me wrong, I like to punch tags too, but I will literally, like, I want to take it all in. I want to, like, I love taking pictures. I love picking, like, picking flowers or, you know, whittling a stick or like whatever, like I'm in it, I'm present, I'm very, it's like there's more to it. And I don't mean that it's like there's like a hard stop between men and women here, right? Because I know there's plenty of men that take it all in too, but I've found it difficult to hunt with a lot of men because it's just go, 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 go. Like, we don't need to stop and eat. We don't need to sleep good. We don't need to, like, right. I'm like, nah, dude. Like, so I slow down. That's what I would say. Slow down. And that's what I'd say for women. Make it enjoyable, whatever that looks like for them. Mm-hmm. And eventually, they'll naturally challenge themselves. It's like they'll do a little bit more and a little bit more, but don't push it. The minute you push it, it's just not fun. And it's the same for kids. You just have a lot, the attention. The attention is not as long. So
yep.
I tell them, you know, make it fun. Make some, you know, bring some games. Keep them warm. Warm and fed. Keep them warm and keep them fed. The amount of times I've hunted with men who are, like, freezing to death and going on an empty tank, and they can just still keep going because, again, they're in kill mode. I'm like, that ain't me. Like, I know what I need, and if I don't check those boxes, I'm out. Like, so I put a lot of attention into, like, getting a good night's rest and getting, you know, quality food on the mountain, and those make a difference for me. And I've just noticed most men don't care about that.
Does it treat it more like it's a vacation? Like, because there's a division.
Or just a camping trip, right? Like,
okay.
She wants to sleep in the morning and the bulls are screaming. Like, I can't relate to that now, but when I first started, I wasn't going to regret sleeping in for a morning. Mm. You know, again, right. I've evolved a lot where I'm like, there's no way in.
Right.
I mean, the only time I'm sleeping in is if I had to pack out a couple bulls one day and I needed some rest. But, yeah, you're not going to find me sleeping anymore. But when I first started, heck yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to feel bad waking up and feeling rested. And you just have to slow
down.
That
goes with the saying, hunt your hunt.
Yeah.
Right.
Have to slow down and figure out what's important to you. But if you're trying to get somebody else into it, then what's important to them? You can't make it about you because mm-hmm. they are not where you are. You're already hooked. You can already take hits in certain areas because you have that adrenaline. You have that desire. Like, it's pulling you. They're not there yet.
Right.
So, and I commend my dad. Man, like, he was so just... He extended so much grace and patience and everything. He never jumped my case about the silly things. You know, if I just didn't want to hunt that day, all right. Or if I got in the blind and I'm just ready to get out, okay, let's go. What can we do to make sure that I don't completely make you turned off by this? And he was so patient. And, I mean, I feel like he did it the right way.
Mm.
But it was a journey. Like I said, I didn't want to pull the trigger till end of eighth grade, and I'd been around it most of my life. I was big into, I liked fishing with my dad. I remember doing a lot more fishing than hunting.
My wife always outfishes me.
Yeah. A lot of women enjoy fishing and are really good at it, and, like, they enjoy it more than hunting.
Why do you think that is?
Honestly, it can be a lot slower pace. How many times are you sitting on a boat, and you're just, like, soaking up the rays, maybe have a drink in your hand, and... Occasionally you get a hit, right? But you're like, you're in it. You're just relaxed.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting because now I'm thinking back on, like, my experiences with my wife. Being a mom, and you see it on social media if you follow, like, parenting type channels where they're like, you know, dads are singular focused. We are mission driven. What's our goal? Let's accomplish it. Let's move to the next. We're, you know, task oriented. And moms are like, well, are the kids fed? What do I need to do for this? Are everyone taken care of? Blah, 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 you know? And maybe that's why fishing for women is so powerful, is because they actually just get to pause.
Yeah, and it's a lot more convenient to go fishing for even a half day than it is to drive out to the middle of nowhere to hunt.
Right.
Hunting is not as convenient. It's just not. Mm-hmm. But you don't even have to have a boat. You can go stand on a bank and fish for a little bit, and you're wetting the line, and you may not catch anything, but you can catch some vitamin D and some
yep.
laughs and
yep.
hear the water and
yep.
like, it's yeah. I think that's what it is, but I don't know. I'm not hooked on fishing. Like, I like crappie fishing. My husband's a hell of a crappie fisherman. We had a lot of good times on the boat with that, but I definitely lean more towards hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, I mean, that's, I think there are obviously a lot of parallels there.
Are you getting into the homestead life?
I would like to.
I feel like that's kind of a natural progression of, like, hunting into that is, like, procure your own food and then transitioning into.
Yeah, like, you know, I've processed a lot of my own game. I've made summer sausage and snack sticks, and, like, I find that very fascinating. The process is very therapeutic.
Yep.
And we just bought a house in September, and it had 4 raised garden beds, and I was super excited to go that route,
yep,
which we're moving now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say I'm interested in it, but I do a lot better learning hands-on. I don't like having to go research and figure it out. Like, I really want someone to mentor me, take me under their wing, and I haven't found that.
Mentorship is powerful.
Yeah.
How do people grow in any aspect of their life without the investment from somebody else?
Yeah, but I would say I definitely, my life complements that. Like, I'm not knocking mainstream hospitals and medicine, but, like, it's just not me. I go to a holistic doctor. I'm big on gut health.
Like, yeah,
gut health and hormones, and, like, I'm very much tapped into that.
Yeah,
so
I love it.
Yeah,
well, for the sake of time, because we all have a lot of stuff going on, I got a bear hunting seminar that I'm giving today. We're gonna wrap this up, but I'd love to follow your journey and catch up with you on another episode and hear how your transition goes with all your different journeys and all that. But thank you for your time.
Yeah,
it's been inspiring. This podcasting blows me away because I get to hear so many different stories and perspectives.
Yeah.
Everyone has opinions. Very few people have perspectives, and perspectives come with experiences.
Yeah.
And when you can share those, that's where the power lies. So
agreed.
Thanks, Jessica. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Guys, if you like this episode, make sure to go follow Jessica. Follow her arrow on social media. What platforms are you on still?
Instagram, Facebook. That's mostly Instagram and Facebook. I do have a TikTok. I'm not super active on it.
I agree.
And then just my website, followherarrow.com. I'm about to update that with a bunch of articles that I just got behind. I've written them. They're just not online yet.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys. Thank you for tuning in this episode. We are live from the Cryptech booth, and just go support Jessica. Go check out cryptech.com. And thank you for tuning in this episode. Be blessed. Remember that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure, and that you can never outgive good, as mentorship is conservation. Be blessed. For Jessica Byers, Johnny Mack, here at Soul Seekers, freedom on, and as always, stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast and want to support the show, you can always like, share, subscribe, and leave a rating, as it helps us share our mission of mentorship is conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of Soul Seekers Nation as we transform lives through primal adventure. If you want to get more connected with the podcast, check out the Soul Seekers Nation Facebook group, as I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. So stay tuned and stay soulful.